Take your Bible and turn to James chapter 3. James is one of the latter chapters in the New Testament. If you're not sure where that's at, if you can, it looks like a lot of folks I can see up there are kind of finding it. You can always look over to a friend and they can help you. James chapter 3, verse 13, he says this, "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you?" The question is this, who is wise? Who needs wisdom? I mean, how many of us can think of some circumstance right now where we need wisdom? I mean, how many of you can think of a friend you need wisdom to know what to do with? How many got a friend issue, right? Put your hands down. How many of you got a future issue? You got something in the future coming and you don't know what to do. How many's got a future issue? All right. How many of you have some weakness or some sin that you don't know what to do with, and you got a weakness or a sin issue? Raise your hand. All right. So we got all these things that we need wisdom. And in James, we find that the book of James was actually written to be a book to help us to understand what wisdom is, who needs it, and what does it look like. As we look at James chapter 3, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, we've got to understand the context. In fact, though we're going to come back to James 3, if you want to go to James 1, we see that James, the servant of God, chapter 1, verse 1, he's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So James is probably the first book written in the New Testament. It's written to Jewish Christians. There's a trial in Jerusalem, and all of the Jewish Christians are pushed out. Have you ever noticed that when there's pressures and trials, we get a little bit more feisty? How many of you have ever gotten like irritated? You were irritated about something, and then little brother just touched your cold cereal, and you went off. You ever done something like that? It's like you got pressures in your life, pressure, 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 and then there's this other thing and you just go off, because whenever there's pressure, what's on the inside comes out. You see, whenever there's pressure, whenever there's trials, when there's persecution, whenever there's tribulation, whenever there's this pressure externally or even internally, what happens is whatever's in your heart comes to the surface, and we're not quite sure how to respond. We need wisdom. In fact, before we even get in the message, I want to just say this. Do you know that all of life is a trial? I mean, what I mean by that is every single one of us need wisdom, because all of life is a trial. So for some of us, like maybe you're trying to go to college. There's about 50, 60 of us that said we're going to college, and it could be you're still trying to figure out how to pay for it. And so you need $10,000. You just wish you had $10,000. I just wish I had $10,000. I need $10,000. That's a trial. I need $10,000. So it could be from I don't have and it's a trial, or it could be that you do have the $10,000. And do you know that when you have the $10,000, that's a trial too? I mean, how are you going to spend the $10,000? Are you going to invest it? Are you going to spend it on something that you just want to, some little toy, some little gadget? Are you going to spend it on something of investment or later on? I mean, you see, all of life is a trial. So whether you don't have something or whether you do have something, all of life is a trial. We need wisdom. And that's why he tells us right here in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 3, chapter 1, "Let patience have her perfect work, and perfect and entire, wanting nothing." He says, so actually be joyful in all these pressures and all these trials, because God's going to teach you something. Is that normal to smile when you have a trial? Is it normal to be happy when you got something bad going on? No. And that's why he says, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." So what do we see in this passage of Scripture? We see that all of life is a trial. God uses our trials to make us more like his son, but every single one of us need wisdom. So let's go back to James chapter 3. We'll stay there the rest of the evening together. So who needs wisdom? We all need wisdom. What is wisdom? James 3, verse 13, he tells us, "Who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom." Now, wisdom is not intellectual in nature. So wisdom is not just knowing something. I mean, you can know something and still not be wise. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know some kid in your school, or you know somebody on your street, or some neighbor you have, it's like they're super intelligent. I mean, it's like they got like a 4.0, and they got multiple degrees, and even though they have all sorts of academic intelligence, they're still dumber than a box of rocks. Who's ever met somebody like that? Because wisdom is not intellectual in nature. I mean, you can know something and still not let it change your life. I mean, like, for example, and I'm not talking down to this. I'm just, how many of you would say, Will, I do believe, and it's scientifically verified, that the use of tobacco does result in a higher chance of getting cancer? How many of you believe that? How many believe that? Okay. But does that stop people from smoking, yes or no? Okay, what about the area of, like, if a girl was to get pregnant, how many of you believe that it's harder for a 15-year-old girl to raise a child by herself than it is for somebody to wait into their 20s and be in a good marriage? How many of you say it's harder for that single 15-year-old to raise that child? How many of you believe that? But does that change, really, the pressure in our society to be sexual before marriage, yes or no? No, it doesn't change that. I mean, there's still that pressure. We can know things and not live certain ways. My grandpa, he died of a heart attack, and then my dad, he died of a heart attack. But does that always stop me from eating French fries? Yes or no? You judgmental people. See, just because you know something, right? Just because I know something, it doesn't always change my behavior. And what do we see in this passage of Scripture is he says, so who's a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So what is wisdom? It's not intellectual in nature. Wisdom, and this would be a great question for the AM Bible quiz, so get ready, write this down. Wisdom is the ability to do the right thing right now. So you say it with me. Wisdom is the ability to do the right thing right now. Say it again. It's the ability to do the right thing right now. One more time. It's the ability to do the right thing right now. That's what wisdom is. It's connecting the character of God with life choices. It's taking the attributes of God and allowing it to just drip down into everyday choices where I'm doing the right thing right now. In James 1, verse 22, he says, don't be just doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Don't be hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, wisdom is the ability to do the right thing right now. So when he says this, let him show, let him demonstrate with a manner of life, a good conversation, his works. Wisdom is really volitional in nature. It's not just knowing what to do, it's doing the right thing right now. And really what I'm preaching for is that you would become a wise person. Because here you are at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and your parents perhaps have told you what to do. Your parents have told you why you should do it. And you go to a school and they tell you the same things. And you go to a church and they tell you the same things. And you have all sorts of intellectual understanding of the Scripture beginning to drip into your brain, but somewhere, somehow, that intellect needs to become wisdom. Somewhere, somehow, God, the creator of the universe, needs to become your God. Somewhere in the midst of all of this, you yourself have to take the attributes and the truths that we know of God from his word and allow it to impact our life and to change us from the inside out. I've got a question. Who needs wisdom? What do we begin to see is this wisdom? It's doing the right thing right now, and we could add another one the right way. So can you do that? So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to do the right thing right now the right way. So let's do it one more time. Wisdom is the ability to do the In fact, what does he do? He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. That idea of meekness, it's a manner of life. It's really living life in a practical submission to the sovereignty of God. It's like in daily things in our family. It's, you know, sadly, we can hear of somebody that just, there was a diagnosis of cancer or a car wreck or some other massive health trial or accident, and we can go like, well, God's in control. But all of a sudden we get left off the sports team and we're angry, right? All of a sudden somebody rejects us and we're mad. All of a sudden somebody makes fun of us and we're just over the top. You see, we can talk about and really rest in the sovereignty of God when we talk about the big trials of life. But what this is doing is, like, in daily choices, wisdom is the ability to make the right choice right now, the right way, with the spirit of meekness of wisdom, not reactive, but actually sweetly submissive to the will of God. He goes on, he says, so who needs wisdom? We all need wisdom. And he says, but if you live like this, verse 14, he says, this isn't wisdom. So in verse 14, we begin to see what is wisdom from below. He says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. So have you ever noticed that we have a highly inflated opinion of ourselves? How many of you have ever struggled with somebody else's problems only to be confronted that you have the same problem? I hate that, don't you? I hate it when it gets flipped and I get to see my own self, and yet, what is he saying here? He's saying, so in the middle of this, you need to do the right thing right now, the right way, and have this wisdom that's a manifestation of the character of God in life choices. But he says on the flip side, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. He said, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, you're not as spiritual as you think you are. You really don't have that sweet wisdom that's dripping into your life, because this bitter envying is a manifestation that you've got some desire, you've got some lust, you have some idol that you are longing for, and the bitter envying is that you're willing to hurt people for your own self-centered purposes. You know, I think that when we know that we're growing up is when all of a sudden we begin to realize what we do. How many of you have ever said something and you didn't really mean it to be mean, but it was mean? You ever done that before? I mean, how many of you can think of something even this last week with your parents or something, and it just spilled out, and all of a sudden you're looking at yourself saying, why in the world did I say that? I mean, why did I think that? I mean, what was going on for me just to be so acidic in my words and so full of bitterness? It's like a bitter edginess where you're willing to hurt people. Envy. You know what envy is? Envy is an unhealthy craving for something that you do not possess. It's resenting the advantages given to other people. It's fearful of someone being equal or better than you. How many of you have ever felt that sick envy in your heart? You know what envy is? Envy is the pain in my heart, not when my enemy fails. Envy is the pain in my heart, not when my enemy fails, but it's the pain in my heart when my friend is successful. Envy robs us of joy, doesn't it? You know, hey, staffers, have you been counseling long enough this summer to envy another staffer yet? Don't you just hate that? It's like a staffer's talking about how God did some great work in some camper's life, and you're over there, and the whole time you're not even rejoicing of what God's doing. The whole time you're over here going, you know what, and I just think because, and you've got this whole little story going, and your heart's just full of envy. We get envious over friends. We get envious over people that are around us. And he says, when you've got this bitter envy in your heart, lie not against the truth. You aren't as spiritual as you think you are. And so we'd actually say something like, Lord, I'd rather your work not happen if it's done better by somebody else. Lord, I don't want that person to receive praise. I should be the one that receives the praise. I'm the one that should receive this. And what happens is our idols are revealed, and the bitter envy and the strife begins to be revealed. You know what strife is? Strife is self-promotion. Strife is where you use words to cut other people down. You infer things about people to cause yourself to be looked in a whole other light. And James says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, you're not as spiritual as you think you are, because that wisdom did not come down from God, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. Do you know what it means by earthy? It just means like horizontal. It's like when somebody hits you, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Well, come on, what do you want to do when someone hits you? Oh, yeah. When somebody mocks you, what do you want to do? Oh, not just mock them. We want to mock them better, don't we? I mean, when somebody takes something that's ours, we want justice. We want to take not just ours back. But have you ever noticed we don't just, it's not just justice we want. We if they take ours, we don't want to just take ours back. We want to take ours and theirs. So they know how it feels like, right? And you know what he's doing here? He's saying when you are living with bitter envy and strife, you're living in a horizontal plane. You're living like the world lives. You're not living like Jesus lives. You're not turning the other side of your face when somebody hits you. You're not giving them your coat when they ask for your cloak. You're not going that second mile when they asked you to go a mile. He says this bitter envy and strife, it's earthy. It's sensual. It's just living according to how you feel, but it's devilish. Have any of you ever gotten into an argument and you were really mad with somebody? I mean, you're really mad, really mad. And then like 2 weeks went by and you're still mad, but you couldn't remember why, but you're just mad because I'm supposed to be mad. I don't even know why. You know, it's funny as we travel. We're in church to church, and Christy and I, we could be driving down the road, and I remember one church, Christy, we were driving down the road, and we were pulling into the church parking lot, and she asked me a leading question. Do you guys know what leading questions are? Leading questions are like statements with a question mark removed. It's like a question without a question mark. It's actually a question with a statement. And I was like, she was asking me a question, and she was asking me a question to make a point. And so she kind of asked her leading question, and I'm driving into the church, and then I looked at her and go, what are you trying to say, baby? And now we're having a discussion. How many of you have ever had a discussion with one of your siblings? Just sharing some thoughts. Just mentioning a few things that would help them be a little bit more like Jesus. And Christy and I are now talking. We're having this conversation, and we're talking, and you know, we're just talking. And then the pastor, I pulled in the church, and here comes the pastor. And then I'm like, oh, well, hello, pastor. But Christy and I still are having resolved our little conversation. And so I'm trying to act all Mr. Spiritual, and I'm setting up stuff, and then I go home, and then I'm like trying to remember, what am I angry about, right? And then Christy and I, we started laughing because we got to think, you know, the church where we're going to was actually this Sunday, they were inviting like a slew of friends that did not know the gospel and they weren't Christians, and they were coming to this morning service, and I was going to present the gospel. Do you think the devil wants Christy and I to be on the same page? Yes or no? Do you think Satan ever wants to cause division in your youth group? Yes or no? Do you think Satan ever wants to trash your family? Yes or no? Have you ever thought that sometimes what's going on is rather than having really wisdom from God, connecting the character of God to life choices right now the right way, what's actually happening is that we're living really in a sensual manner, how I just feel. We're living in an earthy way, just like the world. We're living with really in light of really the temptations of Satan. And he says the result of this is there's confusion and every evil work. I mean, it's just that's the way it works. You just don't even know where you stand. It just destroys unity. I was at a church and there was a lady right here. And she said, you know what? That guy back there, he does not like me. I said, how do you know that? Well, I can just tell he glares at me. Like, you know he glares at you. Yes, every time I look back, he's looking at me. I said, well, have you ever considered maybe he's looking at you because you looked at him first? No, he's glaring. Do you know what happens then? It's like there's little prayer meetings that start. So like this lady who's been really hurt by this person in the back, she starts a Tuesday night prayer meeting, right? She's like, we need to pray for him because we're spiritual. And so, I mean, we're going to get a little prayer team together and we're going to pray for him that he repents of his glares. Who wants to be on my email list? And I'll send out a little Facebook secret list and secret group, and then we'll kind of just pray. We'll just, you know what, because as long as you say it's a prayer request, it's okay to gossip. Did you know that? And so we're going to pray. And so they all get together on Tuesdays and they pray. And pretty soon he's back there and he goes, you know, something's weird up there. Like those people, there's a group of people, I mean, like on Tuesdays, they just don't like me. I don't know what the deal is. And so you know what he does? He starts like a Thursday night prayer meeting. And he gets a little group, and soon there's a little group. Have you ever seen this happen in the youth group before? How many of you have ever had like drama in the youth group? Anyone had any drama? And all of a sudden you got two prayer meetings, Tuesday and Thursday prayer meeting, and then there's like everybody else. We're like, I guess we just have to go to the prayer meeting on Wednesday, right? Because there's like all this confusion, every evil practice. I mean, how many of you have ever had a relationship where it just, you didn't know where you stood? I mean, you're like, you walked up to him and said, hey, how's it going? Fine. Hey, so like, is everything okay with us? Because I'm just kind of sensing that there just might be something that's not quite right. No. So like, everything's fine? Yes. Do you think maybe we could get together and talk? No. So everything's okay? Yes. You ever had a, like there's a party going on. It's like there's a party in the room over there. And I like parties. Who likes parties? I like parties. Parties are fun. And there's this party going on in there. And I mean, they're just having a great time. Oh, I love parties. And so you walk over. You're like, da-da-da-da-da-da. You open the door. Party stops. Close the door. Party starts. Party stop. Stop, stop. It might be me. Confusion. Like, where do I stand? What do they think? What are they, I mean, what are they saying? I mean, what are they not saying? I mean, what, is there something on my face? I mean, what's going on? And he says, when you let there be the bitter envy and strife in your heart, then what begins to happen is you live life on a horizontal plane according to your feelings, influenced by Satan, and results in confusion and every evil work, and now you start to hurt people. Do you know what's really sad? Is there's some of you that you hate a brother or sister. Some of you are filled with anger towards a mom or a dad, somebody at school. It's not wisdom. It's confusion, every evil work. But he goes on and says, you want to know what wisdom looks like? And he just tells us real quick and we'll be done quite shortly. He says, verse 17, but wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, easy, being treated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace with them that make peace. So he says, so you want to know if that choice, so the wisdom is the ability to take the character of God and connect it to life choices. It's the ability to do the right thing right now, the right way. He says, so you want to know whether or not that choice is wise, then is it pure? So wisdom from above is first pure. This is the foundational facet of wisdom. It's just because wisdom is sourced in God. That's why James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He says in James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And so wisdom is first of all pure. And purity has a moral component and it has a devotional component. There's a moral component where you're saying no to sin or things that are revealed in Scripture as evil. You're saying no to that so you can be devotionally given to God. You see, holiness is not just avoiding something. It's actually being set apart to something. I mean, how many of you have ever met a cranky Christian before? I'm not doing, I can't do, I won't do. Right? You ever met one? Well, it's because they're not letting holiness go to its full end. It's not just that I avoid something. It's actually that I say no to something that's going to rob my heart of its love for God so I can love God with all my soul, all my heart, all my mind, every part of my being. And so first of all, wisdom from above is first pure. So if you're making choices that are not pure, then you know that's not wise. But he goes on, he says it's peaceable. A person that's met Christ longs for peace. Men of wisdom are peacemakers rather than strife causers. He says this. Well, I had a circumstance. I was I'm part of a church plant in Salt Lake City, and I was out there and I was working, and I went to this other church planting group. And as I was sitting there, I wasn't a part of the group, but they were having like this infighting. I mean, it was kind of awkward. How many of you have ever been to a friend's house and somebody's fighting and you're just sitting there? You ever had that happen? So I'm at this little church planters thing, and I'm not responsible for anything. And there's like the group that's a little bit more conservative and the group that's a little bit more progressive, and they're all fighting. Have you ever noticed that we're like perfectly balanced, though? Have you ever noticed that? There's people that are more conservative and people that are more progressive, but I'm the perfect balance. Did you know that? I'm like perfect. I am. I really am. So I'm sitting there watching this going, they're just going at it. And all of a sudden, one of the guys looked at me and said, "So, Will, what do you think?" I'm like, "Oh." And I wasn't even trying to do this. I mean, it just popped out of my lips. I just go, "Well, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." Nope. The whole conversation goes, junk. I wasn't trying to be like, put the juke, right? You know, it's really hard to be at peace with people, isn't it? It's easy to be a strife causer. It's easy to hurt people. It's hard to serve people. He says, pure, peaceable, gentle, just considerate, respectful of other people's feelings, makes allowances for their weaknesses, easy to be entreated. I mean, it's like you want to be taught. You're able to be taught. You know what is going on right now? It's really hard. There's some of you right now, you're like 15, 16 years old, especially some of you guys, and you're starting to grow, and you're a man, you know, and then all of a sudden mom says something, and you're like, I know that. Do you know what really he's saying, though? Wisdom is the ability to be teachable, but it's full of mercy and good fruits. And what we begin to see is envy is the promotion of self at the expense of others, but mercy is the promotion of others at the expense of self. And he says, without partiality, without like treating one person one way and treating another person another way. Do you know that when you're maturing is when you can treat the kid in the youth group that's a little bit awkward. Like, every youth group's got an awkward kid, okay? You know, I can talk about the awkward kid because I'm awkward. You know how I know I'm awkward? Because of one of my daughters bought me a t-shirt for my birthday. It said, I mean, this is my last birthday. It says, "I came, I saw, I made it awkward." That's awkward. I wore it one time just to say thanks, you know, that my daughter, I mean, I just wanted her to know that I appreciated her little funny. It was really funny. Have you ever wore a t-shirt that said, "I came, I saw, I made it awkward"? Have you ever worn that in public? I'm walking down the street and people are like, I'm like, you know what? We all know somebody awkward. But you know what the wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to do the right thing right now, the right way, and without partiality. It's like not in James, it talks about people that have money and people don't have money. Isn't it amazing, guys? Can you guys look at me real quick? Do you know how nonsensical some of our thinking processes of the world? Do you know that some of us actually like a person because they buy clothes that have a little emblem right here? Have you ever thought about this? Like, let's just be straight up. I told a story about me being awkward, so you can talk to me too, okay? How many of you have ever looked at somebody's shoes and kind of like judged them? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have ever sized up somebody's house? We're like, "Ah, I don't want to go over there again." Okay, look at me. That's not wisdom. Do you know what's going on here? I'm talking to your heart. I'm talking about you not being a child. I'm talking about you becoming an adult that knows who God is and connects the pieces and by his grace makes the right choice right now, the right way. And we know that that's wisdom when we make choices that are without partiality or choices that are without hypocrisy. Do you know what the Will Galkin right here, this preaching, should not be that much different than the Will Galkin that flew here last night. Should not be that much different than the Will Galkin that lives at home. It should not be that much different than the Will Galkin that hangs out with his friends. You see, nobody likes a hypocrite. Have you noticed that? I was watching, I got sent a little video link from a friend. And I had no clue what it was. And it shows this family fighting, and it's awkward. I mean, it's like really awkward, like cold cereal spilling and like people yelling and the kid mocking parents and the parents yelling at the kid and the husband and wife just trashing each other. And I'm just like listening to this going, whoa. I mean, I was like, oh my word, what is going on? It's like minute two in a 3-minute video and you're watching all this and you see him now in the car and they're like getting around and the dad's cursing out people and all this stuff. And you're like, oh my word, what's up? You know, and I'm just feeling the awkwardness. And then all of a sudden you see him pull into a parking stall, you know, and then the music changes and you see him get out of the car and the hands clasp and you see the husband and wife go into a church service and start singing. Okay, now you talk about awkward. But you know what? Some of us are hypocrites, aren't we? Some of us really are. Some of us are not living with wisdom. This isn't a game. This is reality. It's like you walking with Jesus. And he says, actually, if there's this wisdom from above, it results in the fruit of righteousness, and it's sown in peace with them that make peace. He goes, it actually is a harvest that's so fruitful that it's almost like it's so fruitful that you're spending so much time in the harvest field trying to harvest that when it's time to sow again, you're still harvesting. It's just such an abundant harvest. So who needs wisdom? How many of you would say, I need wisdom? Would you raise your hand? Okay. What I'd like to do in a second is I'm going to pray. And after I'm done praying, I'm just going to ask maybe a pianist to play just for about 3-4 minutes. And as they're playing, I'd like counselors, I'd like you just to circle up. Some of you, some of the guy cabins, you could sit on the floor if you needed to. Girl cabins, you could push the chairs out. And look up here. Don't move anything yet. Let me just give clear instruction. And I want you just to go around and say, I want the counselor, you take the lead. You go, okay, so what do you need wisdom? Or what is something you want to talk about this week? Or what's something that you need God to do in your heart this week? What's an area that you're praying that God would do a work? And I'd like as many campers as can, just work your way around and just all of you just share something. And counselor, you know what you should do? You should probably just take the lead. You should probably say, hey, I just want you guys to know, you know what I need? I need wisdom with. And you take the lead, and then you take the time to listen to the rest of your campers, and then you just pray. And this might be a great follow-up for really our devotional time coming up. It could be a great follow-up for one-on-ones. But I think this would be a great way for us to start off a week of camp. Don't you think so? Let's bow our heads together. Father, oh Lord, help us to not just be children. Help us to be adults. Help us to be Christian adults that live in wisdom.